Okay, look, do you know what? Siri does not listen very well. Okay, listen. Listen to what Siri thinks about some of y'all's names. Text Sam going.
Favoritism.
Oh, come on, Siri. Now she's not even listening at all. She's not even trying.
She's upset.
She's so rude.
What's wrong, Siri? Text Sam going.
Oh.
She's thinking about it.
That's a
stubborn
woman.
Okay, what do you want to say to Sam Gone?
Okay, that's some kind of good force. Text Mike Nicewander.
Don't do it, it's a trash!
Ready to send it?
Oh, she's sending it to Sam Gone.
Do it!
Text Mike Nicewander.
What did she say?
The anticipation is killing me.
Okay, what do you want to say to Mike Nicewander?
Okay, this is the best, though. Y'all know... Okay, their dad's name... You know the Scribonics, right? Their dad's name is Phil. Text Phil Scribonic.
Okay, what do you want to say to Phil Scribonic?
Here's my question. How does one scrab a neck? Is that like where you grab it so hard you scratch it?
Scrab it?
Or is it like
totally
scratch it?
It's like a scarab. Like beetles. So you take the beetle and you put it on the neck.
You put it on the neck.
Scrabble.
So it's scrabble neck. Okay. So here's the thing. Siri doesn't listen too good sometimes.
But sometimes too well.
Doesn't listen too good or speak good or English. So she doesn't listen very well. But that's okay because sometimes we don't listen very well either, especially when it comes to our relationship with God. Sometimes we're real good at running in and rattling off our list of things we want to say to the Lord, but the listening part, sometimes we're not so good at. And it's kind of tragic to think, what if God wants to say something specifically to you? What if He has a specific message to you that if you hear it from Him, maybe it's something from His Word that He applies directly to where you are right now. What if He has something to say to you that will change your life and will turn your heart upside down? What if He has something to say and we miss it because we don't know how to listen? So I want to look in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Find it, and then help somebody next to you find it.
First
Ecclesiastes, the one and only. Ecclesiastes, chapter 5.
Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, verse 1.
Chapter 5, verse 1 in Ecclesiastes. Find it, and then help somebody next to you find it. And please do that quietly.
Right after probably. This is hard.
Can I give you the context while you're looking? Can y'all multitask?
Yeah.
Okay, this only works if y'all will shh and listen.
Hold on, what's he?
So, he's already told us all the different things that won't satisfy us. Y'all remember this whole time in Ecclesiastes, we've talked about how our souls are hungry, growling, groaning for something that it needs. And we try to fill it with all this cotton candy pleasure from the world when what we need and what we really want is the state kind of satisfaction of Jesus alone. And Solomon had limitless resources and dug into everything he possibly could under the sun on planet Earth and found out that everything is meaningless, meaning nothing on Earth will truly satisfy. And one of the things we talked about was work. And he's kind of talking about work again, but coming at it from a different angle. Because he's reminding us work doesn't satisfy you. And you had some people that would come to God and make all these promises and just blah, 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 blah to God, thinking that they would impress God by their religion, by their promises and commitments to God, so that God would turn around and bless their work and make their work fruitful. But do you think that worked? Didn't work. And again, we're reminded that work doesn't satisfy. Only the very presence of our Lord. So, there's going to be a connection here. How they went and blabbed to God, and how we sometimes do that also. And we need to be a little bit better about listening. Everybody in chapter 5, verse 1 of Ecclesiastes? I'm praying. Lord God, will you please calm our hearts and give us your peace right now? Help us to realize how true you really are, and how you're actually really and truly in this room right now. And Jesus, I pray that you would help us to just picture your face and think of you here in our midst, wanting to speak to us. And I pray that you would give us open ears and hearts to hear from you. Help us to not be distracted. Help us to listen to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 5, verse 1. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Okay, so first, let's stop right there and look at that first phrase. Guard your steps. What does that mean? How would you say guard your steps in your own words? What does that mean?
Beware.
Beware. Watch your back. You know, you may have seen signs that say this. Watch your step. You see that? Have y'all seen this? And they always seem to satisfy. That's why I love. Have y'all seen it? Look at this. This comes with that. Watch your step. But if you do fall, do it fabulously. I love that. But watch your step. So if you see a sign that says watch your step, what is probably right past that? What are you about to come upon?
Banana peel.
Banana peel. What else?
Back
hair. Either.
Oil.
Watch your step. Oil slick. Okay.
A turtle shell. Mario Kart.
Oh yeah. If someone says watch your step or guard your steps, it's because there's something dangerous or scary coming up, so we have to be careful. Okay, what are we being careful of? It says guard your steps when you go to where? The house of God. Okay, so what does that mean? Be careful when you do what? Huh?
That can be dangerous.
Okay, but where is it talking about?
The house of God.
The house of God? What do we call that?
Church.
Church? Yeah, we might call it church. They called it the temple. Now, it might be for us church, but it might be something more than that. Because think about it. For them, the house of God, what that was really about is that's where you go to see God. That's where God lived, so to speak. That was where His presence resided. So if you wanted to spend time with God, where'd you have to go? You have to go to the house of God. You have to go to the temple. But guess what happens now? Jesus came and died on the cross, and then He talked to His disciples, and then He went back up and said, but don't worry, I'm going to send you something better than me walking around with you. I'm going to send you what? The Holy Spirit is going to be inside of you. So for us, when we come to the house of God, when we enter into the presence of God, it's not a building. For us to enter in the presence of God, what do we do? Pray. What else?
Read.
Yeah. We can enter into the presence of God anywhere because He's inside of us. So wherever you are, you can be in the presence of God. But He says, be careful. He says, guard your steps. And why is that he would say, be careful when you enter in the presence of God? Why is it like if you're at home and you enter in the presence of God, that like God's going to jump out from behind the couch and scare you? It's like, why is he saying be careful? What? it turns out there's actually a right way and a wrong way to enter into the presence of God. You want to know the right way? Okay, let's keep looking. Verse 1 again. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to do what?
Listen.
Rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. So first of all, notice that word near. Go near. Did you know that you can be near Jesus Christ any time you want? Did you know you have 24/7 access into the presence of the living God to talk to Him face to face, one on one, anytime you want? You can be near to God because He's in you. So when you come near, okay, how do we do that though? How do we come near? What are we supposed to do? What does it say? Go near to do what?
Listen.
How do we listen to God? What do you think? Okay, I see somebody pointing at their Bible. Yeah, we read. How else? How else do we listen to God?
Obey Him.
Okay, that's like the step right after. You hear from Him, and then you obey. And some of your translations might even say obey, because that word is used that way in other places. Here, many people and many translations, and I prefer that translation of listen, because in context it's talking about, you'll see later that it's talking about people who will either choose to talk a whole lot or they'll choose to just listen. Okay, I don't know. Some of you may have actually listened to and heard an audible voice of God. Some of you may have. And for you, listening to God is something that feels like it goes into the hammer and anvil of your and the stuff in your eardrum. For me, that's not happened. But here's what does happen. Whenever I'm reading, I have to get up early before all my kiddos wake up and before there's stuff, distractions going on. You have to get rid of all distractions and get to a place where you can be still before God and read, talk to Him, and then stop and listen. Sometimes I'll ask Him questions about what I just read. What does that mean? Or what do you want me to do with this decision? Like, I just had to pray and listen. God, do you want me to go to El Salvador when the elders go in December or not? And you know what happens? Sometimes I get nothing. Okay? Sometimes that happens. Sometimes there's a thought that'll come to my heart or my mind that'll be either kind of yes or no, kind of right or left, depending on what I'm asking God. But guess who's in charge of that thought that comes into my brain? When I ask God a question and the next thought that comes in my mind, who puts that there? Who's in charge of that? The Holy Spirit. God. Jesus. The Father, they're in control. They're in sovereign control, right? Okay, but who else can guide our thoughts? Okay, Satan can too, right? So you got to make sure. How do you know if what you're hearing is Satan or God? How do you know?
If it's a guilty conscience.
Okay, what'd you say, guilty conscience? Okay, yeah, because sometimes you hear something, but there's something, you don't have a peace. That's because the Holy Spirit is going to say, he's not going to let you go if you're listening. And so you can check it with the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And you can check it with the peace in your spirit. So for me, listening to God is asking questions and kind of seeing what thoughts and feelings. It doesn't feel, ooh, or not like in a trance and it's like, oh, here's what I want you to do. It's not like mystical for me. It's just very normal, kind of. But He's in charge of that, isn't He? So what So listen to God. Go near and listen, rather than offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. Okay, so what do the fools offer? What is the sacrifice that fools offer? What do you think?
Words.
Okay. How did you know that? Okay. Didn't say it yet, did it? It says it later. One clue that you have there is that word rather in verse 1. Do you see that? Listen, rather than offer the sacrifice of fools. That's a contrast word, which means whatever comes after listen is going to be the opposite of listen. So what's the opposite of listening?
Talking.
Okay, so he's saying, go near and listen. Don't be like those fools who give this sacrifice of words. A sacrifice is something that you give to God to worship Him. Now, they have, a lot of times people can turn their religious obedience into trying to earn God's favor, right? Like they would give sacrifices even though their hearts were black and they thought and did whatever they wanted to. They thought they could buy God off by giving Him a sacrifice. Or with the sacrifice of words, it's saying, trying to say the right things or promising God things. But without a heart change with it, what's it called? A sacrifice of what? Of fools. And they're ready to talk, but they don't want to listen to God and let Him meet them on the heart level and tell them what's really going on and what He really wants for them. Because I promise you, He doesn't want their sacrifice. He doesn't want a sacrifice of fools, of babbling. So, look at verse 2. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. So don't be quick to just come into God's presence and just talk. Have you ever been so excited to see somebody that you haven't seen for a while, and there was something that you really wanted to tell them, and you couldn't wait to tell them, and you said, oh man, I'm so glad to see you, and they go, me too. And you're like, oh, okay, you're going. Okay. And then you wait, and you think they're going to take a breath, and you said, but I wanted to tell them. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And you, at some point, you just want to slap them and say, you know what, you talk too much. Like, I wonder if God ever feels that way about us, that we come into His presence with our list, and it's like, well, I know I'm supposed to pray for the government, I'm supposed to pray for my family, I'm supposed to pray for the church, and I go, do-do-do-do-do-do, and He's going, yeah, but, I just want to talk to you! I want to talk to you! And I wonder if He's like, sometimes you talk too much, I want you to listen to me, I want to share my heart with you, I want you to know me, I want a relationship with you, I don't want to be a comment box. You know, have you seen those in the restaurants where you're supposed to write in the card and say, drop something in? I don't know if they do that anymore. I think it's all on apps and stuff now. I had a friend that once we were eating and they had a comment box, a little slot where you would write the card and drop the thing in. It just said, comments. And he looked at it as he was walking by and just leaned in and said, the chicken was a little dry. But God doesn't just want to be a comment box or to just get feedback. Like, He wants to talk to us. He wants us to listen. Okay. So, why not just talk away? Talk. Well, look at what it says, the second half of the verse. It's in verse 2. Here's why. God is in heaven, and you are on earth. So let your words be few. God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Okay, so you might be like, okay, duh. But you see what He's trying to say? God's up here. You're down here. God's really high, and you're really low. God's really holy and awesome and omniscient and omnipotent and omnipresent, and you're just not. You know? It's like saying, look, He's God. You're not. So do you think He probably knows what's already on your heart? Do you think He might know what you think you need and want already? So, let your words be few. You don't have to feel like you have to be in a rush that you're going to miss something. Because He knows what you want and need before you even say it. Have y'all seen this verse? Matthew 6, 7 through 8. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Why? Because your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. He's God. He knows everything. maybe he just wants you to listen sometime, okay? So, let your words be few. Okay, so what does that mean? Let your words be few. Does that mean that we kind of have a quota? Like, God's like, tell you what, I'll give you 30 words a day. What? Does that jive with the Holy Spirit in you right now? What's wrong with that? Why do you think that's not... I mean, it says let your words be few. What's going on? What do you think this is trying to say? Any guesses? Yeah.
Don't just talk and listen.
Yes! Don't just talk. Okay, he does. He wants to hear your heart. He really does. He wants to hear everything that's on your heart because he loves you. And he wants you to vent to him. He wants you to just gush. But there needs to be a time when you go, and then you just go, okay, Lord, what do you want to say? I want to listen to you. This is a two-way thing here. This isn't a one-way relationship. Like, I want to hear from you. And if there's something you say to me that you want me to change, I'm going to do it. I want to hear from you. I don't only want you to know me. I want to know you. So tell me about yourself. Tell me what you want from me. Tell me more. And the more you dig in, the more you spend time in prayer, the more you listen, the more you get to know him deeply and intimately. Okay. You know why I think it's hard for us to be still and listen? I think that we don't really believe. I think it's hard. Sometimes we struggle with believing that he's real and that he's a person that's in this room. Not human, he's a person. However, he is man, exalted. But person, meaning he's got a personality, he listens and he speaks, and that he's here. So if we listen and just we're still and we're like waiting, we're afraid we're going to get embarrassed. Like, I don't hear anything. Well, that was awkward. I'm not going to do that again. I'll just go back to my list next time. Instead of just believing. Like, you know, and guess what? If you listen to the Lord and you don't get anything, and it doesn't, you don't feel like you're hearing from him, and it feels awkward the first, second, third, 234th time, that's okay. Keep listening. Keep coming to him. There's lots of layers of unbelief and lies and messed up stuff that we have piled on top of us from the world. Lies that we bought that it might take some time to peel back. He might pierce through it all and you feel like he's talking directly to you right away. And it might not be right away. But keep on. Keep listening. Keep believing. Even if it doesn't happen right away. So when you want to spend time with him, enter his presence with silence, not with a wish list. Because he's not your waiter. Have you ever seen someone order food at a restaurant and the waiter's trying to be all nice and they go, yeah, give me the filet mignon with a side of rice pilaf and steamed seasonal vegetables. And don't won't even make eye contact. Like, it's like that person's only purpose is to meet my needs and give me what I want. We can't approach Jesus like that. He's not our waiter. He's the lover of your soul. And he wants to communicate to you. And he wants to spend time with you. So let's listen when we enter his presence. And for the people that Solomon was addressing, for them, when they wanted to impress God, they would make vows. They would say, here's what I'm going to do for you. And guys, we do that too. Here's what happens. When you've blown it, when you've looked at pornography, when you've done something you're not supposed to with your boyfriend or girlfriend, or you've gone to that website, or you've said that thing about that person, or whatever it may be, when you just feel like, ugh, and you're trying to muster your courage to go back to talk to God again, and you think, okay, I know what I can do. And you say, okay, God, I'm back. I blew it. But look, here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to do that again for 2 whole weeks. I'm going to get rid of it. I'm going to tell this person I'm not talking to them again. I'm not going to spend time with them. And you know what we do? We start making deals with God. You know what those are? Those are rash vows. We're making a vow. This is what I'm going to do. We tell God what we're going to do. And here's, listen what Solomon says about vows. Verse 3. As a dream comes when there are many cares, so the speech of a fool when there are many words. Okay, that's a little complicated. Let me try to tell you what that means. When there are many cares, or when you're really busy and there's a lot going on, it's just a matter of time before you start to dream and think, man, it would be nice if this were better. But that dream doesn't accomplish anything. It's not helpful. And so it is with a fool when he multiplies all his words and he's saying a whole lot of stuff, that it's only a matter of time before he accidentally falls into making a couple of vows to God. So if you're just running, it's only a matter of time until you say something that you regret. If you're trying to like impress God with what you're saying and saying that you're going to clean things up and you're telling him, it's only a matter of time before you say something that you regret. Like Proverbs 10:19 says, when words abound, transgression is inevitable. But the one who restrains his words is wise. And now look at verse 4 in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. When you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. So what he's saying is, if you do make a vow to God, accidentally or not, you better follow through. You have to follow through. Write down Judges 11:30 through 34 and look at what happens when you make a vow and then you have to follow up on it. It's a bad thing. I'm serious. Y'all are going to be shocked by that. Look at that later.
11:30 through what?
Judges 11:30 through 34. And when you make a vow to God, you have to follow through. But even if you vowed something that you didn't mean to, like if you say, I'm not going to look at porn for 3 whole months, and then you get a few weeks into it, or you say, I'm going to get rid of my iPhone for 2 days, and then like 2 minutes into it, you're like, I can't help it. It's like, if you don't want to make a vow that you can't keep, if you do make a vow, you better keep it. But what's better is to not make the vow in the first place. God doesn't need your vow. He doesn't want your vow. And listen to what verse 5 says, Ecclesiastes 5:5. It is better not to vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin, and do not protest to the temple messenger, my vow was a mistake. I didn't know it was going to be this hard. Why should God be angry at you, at what you say, and destroy the work of your hands? So be careful. Coming into the Lord's presence after you've blown it, you feel dirty and just running your mouth, trying to make it better with promises, with commitments, with vows, bargaining, making deals with God. Or how many of you ever said, God, if you'll just help me pass this one test, I promise I'll never procrastinate again. You know, we get in these binds and we start to run our mouth to God and we make ourselves liars. God doesn't want our promises. He doesn't want us to bail ourselves out by cleaning ourselves up and declaring to Him, I'm going to fix myself. I'm going to clean myself up. I'm not going to do that again for however long. You know what that is? That's you and I not believing the gospel. Do you see the connection there? If I come to God and I say, I'm so sorry, but I'm not going to do that again. And here's my plan. I'm not going to do this, 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 and this. That's me saying, Jesus, I'm going to earn my forgiveness. Doesn't work like that. The gospel says you come with nothing right when you've blown it. And whatever thing that is that you struggle with, you come to Him, face to the ground, hands open, heart open, and say, I can bring you nothing. I can make no promises because I won't make good on them anyway. All I can say is I've blown it. Will you please forgive me? And I already know I'm forgiven because what you did on the cross paid for everything. So even though it feels awful because I don't deserve it, I'll receive your forgiveness right now. I'll forgive, I'll receive your grace and come close to you and move forward in whatever you want me to do. Don't come to God and say, I'm going to clean myself up in this, 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 and this way. Just come to God and say, I'm sorry. And I'm here to listen. That's the gospel. We come to Him with nothing, and He gives us everything. So, look at verse 7. Sort of concludes this passage. Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Therefore, stand in awe of God. So many words are meaningless, meaning they won't satisfy you. They won't give you what you want. They won't give you closeness with Jesus. It says just stand in awe. Which means we need to just come into the presence of God and say, okay, I'm here. And stand in awe. There's some translations say fear God. It's to understand that He is awesome. And there's anything that I try to do to clean myself up is just an insult. I just stand in awe at His holiness and His love and His grace and say, I'm here. I want to spend time with you. I want to listen. I want to know you. Don't stumble into the presence of God just babbling, making deals, trying to bargain, earn, or fix, or prove yourself to Him. Just humble yourself. Stand in His presence. Receive His grace and forgiveness and His love and know Him. When it comes to communicating to God, your many words are simply meaningless. And here's what I need you to hear loud and clear if you don't hear anything else. Jesus wants your heart, not your words. He wants your heart. He wants you. Just the way you are. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your ridiculous love for us and that you want us and you just want to talk to us. Man, help us to please just help us to spend time with you. Maybe even spend time in small groups just being still and quiet and listening to you. We want to hear from you and we want to know you because we know that Jesus, you are real even when we don't feel it. And we know that you satisfy our souls in a way that nothing else can. Will you speak to us? I pray that you would help all my friends here, whether they're doing the 7-minute challenge or they're trying to read 3 chapters a day or they're just trying to get some time alone with you when they can. I pray that whenever they do, you'd help them to remember to talk to you. But then to just be still and say, Jesus, I know you're here. I know you want to talk to me. What do you want to say to me? What does this verse mean? Help us to remember to just listen to you and talk to you. Thank you for wanting an eternal relationship with me and my friends here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.